been set to go into the Word of God. We're going to focus our attention to Acts chapter 11, verses 14 through 16 tonight. Amen. I believe there's some rats that's been shaken off here tonight. Heard a story of an airplane that was flying through the air. And as they were flying, the pilot began to hear something gnawing and chewing. Many of you have heard that gnawing and chewing in your houses. It's the sound of mice. And so they didn't know where they were in that cockpit. And so the only thing they knew to do was turn the nose of that airplane straight up to the sky and give it all that it had. Just the time that they turned the nose of that cockpit up, those mice fell to the back of the cockpit and they were able to catch them. I said that to say this. If you turn your nose up towards heaven, the enemy, the devil, can just fall behind you and he cannot affect you. He cannot slow you down. Hallelujah. Maybe you'll remember that. Praise God. Acts chapter 11, verses 14 through 16. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? As he began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. The next verse. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now that's a powerful scripture. That's the bread and the butter right there. But I'd like to focus on verse 15 that says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, on us, as at the beginning. Meaning that the Holy Ghost fell out continually. The point I want to bring out tonight is the Holy Ghost did not grow old to them even in the beginning. But it continually fell out upon those that spoke the word and received the word. Tonight, I'm going to preach a very simple message. I wanted to get really deep. I wanted to preach about the scrolls and this, that, and the other. But the Lord wanted to tell you something tonight. And it might just be a little bit simple, but I believe it's going to minister to you. Simply entitled, We Still Need the Holy Ghost. We still need the Holy Ghost. Let's lay our Bibles aside just now and let's lift our voices, our minds, and our hearts up towards God right now. And let's begin to thank Him. Let's begin to praise Him. Let's begin to lift Him up right now. Holy Ghost, we thank You tonight. We give You praise and honor and glory tonight from what You've already done, for what You've already blessed us with. And God, we're going to give You praise for what You're going to bless us with in the future, for how You're going to have this church to grow numerically and spiritually. In Jesus' righteous name, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Well, you may be seated for a little while. Amen. From the opening, I want you to know I'm not trying to cut any corners tonight. I'm not trying to preach something really weird and cosmic tonight. But tonight I want to tell you from the beginning that we've got to realize that the Holy Ghost is the most powerful thing in this world. That there's nothing that compares to the power of the Holy Ghost. There's not a seminar. If you know of one, let me know. There's not a drug. If you know of one, let me know. There's not a website. There's not a feel-good speech. There's not a book out there that can compare to what the Holy Ghost can do for you. If you know about one, let me know about it. We might can make some money on it and build a new church. Praise God. But there's nothing out there that can compare. There's nothing out there that can stand up beside of the Holy Ghost. You see, in the Old Testament, you know, they didn't have the Holy Ghost, but they had God alongside of them. And for a short while, Moses had to go back up on the mountain. And for just that little while, with the man of God gone, they had to create something to assimilate the presence of God in their lives. They felt like they didn't have enough. They felt like they weren't getting by with what they had. And so they had to create themselves a golden calf. They began to worship it. They began to praise it. They began to give it glory. And when Moses came back down, he was furious at what he had saw. He was so furious, in fact, that he took the tablets that he got from up on the mountain and he threw it at them because he couldn't believe at what they had done in just a short period of time. Well, I can kind of understand why they did it. When I look at the story, I kind of can understand how they may have done that because they didn't have the man of God in their life for even just a short period of time. If you don't have the man of God in your life for at least just a short period of time, skipped a month of church, skipped a couple of months of church, there's no telling what you might do. Let's look at the Old Testament calf tonight. How ridiculous does that sound to us to worship a cow, to worship something that you've made of gold? But you leave the man of God out of your life, and there's no telling what you'll end up worshiping. There's no telling what you'll end up praising. But you keep the man of God in your life, and you'll stay close to the Holy Ghost. You'll stay close to the presence of God. You'll realize that there's nothing else that can compare. There's nothing else that I need. Because I've got the Spirit of God. Amen. I know I'm preaching to folks tonight, many of which have got the Holy Ghost, some of which that do not. And if you do not before the end of tonight, we want to help you to get it. Everybody needs to have a tongue-talking experience. Everybody needs to speak in tongues. Everybody needs to reach out to God to get Him inside of their hearts. Everybody. And I'm not just making that up. Because Jesus Himself said you've got to be born again of the water, baptism, and you've got to be born again of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I recently contribute articles to a website that helps teachers, that helps them with different things. It gives them information, it gives them practical things to teach with, and it gives them information. And I put a post on there. Technology, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, I think technology is a great thing. The fact that we have microphones is technology 40 or 50 years ago. The fact that we've got speakers in this place is technology compared to 50 or 60 years ago. The fact that we've got lights in this place and air conditioning is technology compared to about 100 years ago. But the fact that we've got technology cannot substitute itself for a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. It cannot substitute itself for a move of God in somebody's life. It can't substitute for somebody being born again of the water and of the Spirit. We can have all the technology in the world. We can have all the programs in the world. We can have all the things that make everything just right. But if you're not having a move of God, and if people are not receiving the Holy Ghost, it's all for naught. It's all for nothing. For nothing. I've seen churches that have had dance teams. Churches that have had laser light shows. Churches that have had concerts with ZZ Top to get people in there and... All right, I haven't seen any churches with a ZZ Top concert. But I had to throw that in there. But they'll do what they can just to get a crowd to say that they've got a crowd. And nobody's receiving the Holy Ghost. Nobody's being born again of the water and the Spirit. But right here at Landmark, by golly, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost is being poured out. Several last week, several this week. People want it. People need it. People are looking for it. People are desiring it. Hallelujah. And you feel it. You know it. My Holy Ghost is the ticket out of this place. The very fact that He's going to call us up on the day of the rapture, it's my ticket to the streets of gold. It's my ticket to walls of jasper. Hallelujah. It's all the presence of God that I will truly ever need. It teaches me, it guides me, it gives me power to deal with the junk. Can I go on to say in the hell in this world that we deal with every single day? I don't know about you, but I need all the direction I can get. I need all the power I can get. I need all of the everything God can give me, I can get. Hallelujah. I need to understand the will of God. And with the Holy Ghost You're better able to understand the will of God. I tell people in Bible study that once you receive the Holy Ghost, once you get the Holy Ghost, the very words in your Bible, you're going to understand better. Because you've got the very Spirit inside of you that authored those words that you're reading. It's the very same Spirit. And I need that understanding. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Many of you know I'm not a handyman. Many of you know that there's a lot of things I can't do. My wife knows that more than anybody. But praise God, we've got a handyman that's a father-in-law. Praise God. One summer I was working with my dad. And I would go on to say that there's a lot of things he don't understand either. I'm not going to pick on him tonight. I would pick on him if he was here. But I worked with him one summer, and he had a logging business. He cut down trees for a living, took them to the lumberjack yard, and they would pay him money. He would give me a cut of that. I was working the tractor for him. Now, how many of you have ever seen me on a tractor? How many of you ever seen me on a lawnmower? My wife would tell you that I tear our lawnmower to pieces every time I get on it, because I put it in eighth gear and go full blast the whole time. Shake it. You got to get this thing done. Come on, we got to get it done. Our backyard's a little bumpy, and so that's what it looks like. But I'm working with my dad, and he ain't much better. And so we're at a house. He said, "Son, we're going to tie a rope. Maybe it was a chain, and we're going to tie it to the tractor, and I want you to get in the trees, pull the tractor in the trees, and I just want you, we're going to tie it around this tree I'm going to cut, and we're going to pull it your direction. So that it doesn't fall on the house that's this far from the tree." Picture it. So my dad, all the great health that he's in, he began to saw on the tree, and I can't see him because of the trees. And I'm just kind of slowly keeping a little bit of tightness on that. I can't remember if it was a rope or a chain. Doesn't really matter. And so I'm keeping just a little bit of tightness on it, just kind of edging back because we want the tree to fall away from the house. And so as I'm pulling, that chain snaps. Okay, not a problem. I didn't hear anything after that. Turned the tractor off, got off the tractor, began to walk towards my dad. And as I began to peek through the trees, I could see my dad standing there holding the tree. Except he wasn't that calm. My dad has a language issue, and so he had a few choice words. And so I said, "What do you want me to do?" And it was just like a blur of words. I didn't even understand what he was saying. It was like he was speaking in tongues right there beside the tree. And so we put the rope back on there, tied it back. He began to cut the tree once again. I stayed off the tractor. We put enough slack on there just to keep it tight. And I was off the tractor. He cut the tree. I was way far away. The tree then twisted, landed right on the house's edge. Shoo! Took the edge of the house right off. I said, "Dad, what are we going to do?" He said, "We're going to leave. We're getting out of here." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah, I got insurance. It'll cover it. We're getting out of here." I need all the understanding I can get. If the Holy Ghost can provide me with some understanding, give it to me. If the Holy Ghost can provide me with some direction, give it to me. Hey, the Holy Ghost needs us to understand His will, to understand His direction, so that we can share it with a lost and dying world. The Lord is not looking at us with no tools. He's not giving us no tools, but He's providing us everything that we need to reach out to this world, to reach out to our families, to reach out to the lost. He's not going to leave you ignorant. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is not a get out of hell free card. It's actually a live life to the fullest invitation. living life to the fullest. That sounds familiar. And on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Lord wants you to live life to the fullest. And if you're not doing that, that might be your own fault, because God is pouring out everything He can pour out on you. He's giving you everything that He can give you. It's just up to you to receive it. It's up to you to accept it. Hallelujah. You see, I look at the church and I look at a bunch of people that were once broken, and God has put them back together. And the Holy Ghost is the glue that holds all that together. Hallelujah. If I was to take this bottle and I was to smash it right here into 100 pieces, and I was to put it back together, every single piece, gluing it together, piece by piece, and I left one little piece out right there, right there. And then I tried to put this oil back in there, it wouldn't stay. It would flow right back out. And so, when we give everything that we've got to God, we've got to give everything. And so if we leave one little piece that we're not giving to God, we can't keep the full measure of His Spirit. We can't keep the full measure of His anointing in our lives. But if we give it all, it's all complete. It's all put back together. It's all in one piece. It's all in unity. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the glue that holds it all together. Hallelujah. You can always tell how blessed you really are tomorrow by how much junk you're going through today. You see, the devil, we could say the enemy, knows your future, knows that you're going to live for God, knows that you're going to reach somebody, knows that you're going to teach a home Bible study, and he's going to throw everything else at you that he possibly can. And so you can use it as a barometer if you want to. How much junk I'm going through today has got to be a sign of the blessings that are going to come. It's got to be a sign of the blessings that's going to come in my life, because I'm going through hell today. I'm going through a bunch of junk today, and the devil doesn't like that. The devil doesn't like that. Oh, Lord, move today. Let somebody understand today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't let adversity get you down unless it's driving you down to your knees. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come shall separate us from the love of Christ. Did you catch that part about angels? Now, an angel's a pretty powerful thing. And the Lord said that not even angels should be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Not even an angel. And so how far are you removed from the Holy Ghost if you're letting your buddies, if you're letting your friends, if you're letting your job, if you're letting your circumstances removing you from the love of Christ, when the Bible says that not even angels should be able to do that? Not even angels. Everything that you've been going through is an indication of your future. The devil is trying to tear you down because he knows your future. The Holy Ghost is not old-fashioned and it's not outdated. Contrary to what a lot of places will preach, what a lot of places will teach, we still got to have the Holy Ghost. We've still got to have the power. We've still got to have the anointing. Hallelujah. This church would be just like any other church if we didn't have the Holy Ghost. Because then we take away the anointing. Then we take away holiness, because of which we don't get holiness without the Holy Ghost. We lose all of that standard. We lose all of that righteousness. And we lose all of the God inside of us. And we're just like any other Joe Schmo church down the street. But we're not that way. We're rich in the Holy Ghost. We're deep in the Holy Ghost. We're deep in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I say that. And I say that because there are preachers and people in this church that have begun to think, maybe, hey, you know, this Holy Ghost thing's getting a little old. People just don't want it anymore. They don't want it like they like they used to. That's not true. That is not true. We heard a testimony just this past week at men's conference. There's a young minister at the Lemon Springs Church that was invited to preach at a Presbyterian church. I'm not knocking Presbyterians, because here's why. They invited him to preach because they lost their pastor for one reason or another. And then he preached one service. They invited him back for another one. He preached the next service. They invited him back for another one. And they kept inviting him back and kept inviting him back. And they have decided to vote him in as the interim pastor at a Presbyterian church. Now, this is a one God apostolic tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-believing, born again in the Jesus name preacher. And they have elected him to be over a Presbyterian church. Don't tell me they don't want it anymore. Don't tell me they don't desire it anymore. They want it now. They wanted it then. They're going to want it in the future, because it's the greatest thing in this world. Hallelujah. Hey, pastor's been preaching in Baptist churches. Pastor's been preaching in all kinds of denominational churches. And more invitations to come. I got an invitation I haven't even told pastor yet. Just this past week to preach at a United Church of Christ right here in Lexington. They still want it. I'm telling you, they want it. They're craving it. They're desiring it, because they don't have anything else. There's not a drug that can compare. There's not a book that can compare. There's not a psychologist that can compare. There's not a doctor that can heal away what they're desiring, what they're looking for, what they're after. But the Holy Ghost provides all that and more. And more. Hallelujah. We will continue to preach this gospel. We will continue to preach it, because this is the house of transformity. This is not the house of conformity. We don't conform to this world. We don't line up to what this world does. We don't let this world dictate us. We don't let this world change our minds. We do not conform. We allow the Holy Ghost that's driven deep down inside of us to transform us, to transform our thinking, to transform our mind. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's God that has to dictate who I am. It's God that has to dictate what I believe, what I think, what I do. Amen. It's a funny thing that when God, through the burning bush, told Moses, hey, take off your shoes. The place you're standing is on holy ground. Moses said a lot of things, but he didn't say, my shoes? Are you serious? My shoes? Why do you want to pick my shoes? You see what I'm saying? Where we get people in church and they're saying, that? Why does he want to pick that? Why does he want to pick on that? Hey, whatever God says goes, man. Whatever God says, that's the rules, brother. And I tell you what, if a burning bush is talking to me, if he tells me to take off whatever I want, he wants me to take off, it's going off. Amen. Praise God. You know, there's a few things I'd like to have released in this place tonight. There's just a few things that should probably be released. I'd like to release, I'm going to give you permission. I don't even have to give you permission. I don't even have the authority to grant you permission. But I'm going to give you permission tonight to send out texts, to send out emails, to send out phone calls, to send out tweets. What else is there? To send out cards, to show people you love them, to show people you care. I release that. I release that. Driving down the road just the other day, wasn't a bad day. Wasn't anything going wrong. Person from the church texted me, said, brother, I'm praying for you today. I instantly began to cry. Somebody was thinking about me. They didn't have to. I didn't have a problem. But somebody was praying for me. You do the same thing, and it's going to go miles in somebody's walk with God. It's going to go thousands of miles in somebody's walk with God. But now understand this. When somebody from the church does that, understand it's from the church. Even if it's from your best friend, even if it's from your relative in the church, it's from the church. I went and prayed for a guy. He laid it on my heart a couple years ago. I got out of bed, 5 o'clock in the morning, drove to his house, knocked on his door, woke him up, got him out of bed. I said, "The Lord has laid it on my heart to pray for you, because if I don't pray for you right now, I may not have another opportunity, and I've got to take that seriously." We sat down, we prayed 30, 45 minutes. I walked away. I said, I love you, and I'm still going to be praying for you. A week later, he told me, "Well, nobody from the church has called me." I said, Who am I? Hey, if I call you, I'm the church. If my wife calls you, she's the church. If Brother Scarborough calls you, he's the church. If Brother Newberry calls you, he's the church. Amen. Hallelujah. We had the opportunity to go to a memorial service yesterday. The pastor didn't have to be there. He didn't have to be there, but the church was there represented by me and my wife. I'd like to release your love upon somebody else. Release your love upon everybody that needs to hear it. Cupid doesn't have anything on us. He don't have anything on us. Amen. I would like to release tonight as well, as we're all standing tonight. I would also like to release tonight our youth. Man, the Lord is cutting them loose. And I say that tonight because I want it to continue. You didn't know this, but I need you. You girls didn't know this, but I need you. I need to see you worshiping and praising God. I need to see that. Why, Brother Hedrick? Why would you need to see me praising God and worshiping the Lord? Because it makes me feel like, hey, we're accomplishing something here. If we can get a young person to raise his hands, if we can get a young person to run the aisles, we're accomplishing something in this place. Because there's a world that's pulling at them. There's a world that's pulling at them. And so tonight, we're releasing you guys, not to this world, but to reach to this world and to worship in this house. I tell you what, if you're close by, why don't you lay a hand on them? If you're not close by, just stretch out your hands to them right now. And let's pray the prayer of release upon our young people. God likes what he sees. God likes what he sees, and God wants more of it. Oh, Holy Ghost, release them tonight. Holy Ghost, touch them tonight. Move upon them tonight, God. These are the people that's going to move the gospel. These are the people that's going to shake lives. These are the people that have the energy. These are the people that have the time. These are the people that can do it with energy, with excitement, with zeal tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I also would like to release tonight. I want to release tonight that if you've been ministered to in this place, that you'll get the self-esteem, that you'll get the wisdom, that you'll get the anointing to minister to someone else. You'll get the fortitude to be able to reach out. If it's comfortable where you're standing at tonight, I want to pray the prayer that you can be released, if you've been ministered to minister to others. Let's lay a hand on our brother and sister tonight. The prayer of release, the release of ministering tonight. Release my brother. Release my sister tonight, God. Release them, God. Oh, release them, God. Give them the self-esteem, God. Give them the words of knowledge, Holy Ghost. Give them the deep touch of your anointing, God, to share this word with somebody else, God. To not be inhibited, God. To not let their problems hold them down, God. I pray the prayer of release upon this city tonight. Hallelujah, God. Somebody's being released. Somebody's being touched. Somebody's being blessed. Somebody's being anointed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. There's one more prayer of release I'd like to release tonight. Brother Armando and his family's doing a great job. And the other Hispanic family that can't be here tonight, I want to pray the prayer of release upon the Hispanic community. Hallelujah. I'm not calling anybody to preach. I'm not calling anybody into ministry. I'm calling a release to the Hispanic community.